This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikag and Jujuba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hingadena. Hey, let's get right away going here and talk about news that's happened in this past week, Native style. Let's listen to Emma Needham, our ace reporter on the news. Let's listen.
Buju, everyone. This is Elgamagnu Ikwe. The name given to me by my mother is Emma Needham. Today is Saturday, July 25th, and I'm here with Native Roots Radio to give you some updates from Turtle Island this week. Following up with our relatives on the East Coast, the Mashpee Wampanoag Nation, the Kennedy-Keating Amendment protecting the federal status of the tribe is passed in the House. Congressman Joe Kennedy and Bill Keating passed the amendment Friday after it was introduced by lawmakers Deb Haaland and Lori Trahan and would protect the Mashpee Wampanoag Nation by fully recognizing their tribal lands without interference from the federal government. Congressman Kennedy spoke on the bill and said, 400 years ago, the Pilgrims settled on the Mashpee Wampanoag Nation's land, and they have had to fight for their sovereignty and survival ever since. The Trump administration has used the COVID-19 pandemic as a cover to try to steal the tribe's lands and to find their people out of existence. This amendment will put an immediate stop to those dangerous efforts. The language of the amendment prevents the Interior Department from taking any action that would dispose of the tribe's land and reservation. It would also protect the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe from endless litigation and fully recognize their tribal lands without interference from the federal government. The legislation is now headed to the Senate. Chairman of the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe, Cedric Cromwell, thanked the legislators for their support of the tribe. His most recent statement about the legislation and other information can be found on the Mashpee Wampanoag Nation website. Cromwell issued this statement of thanks. This amendment is a major step toward the preservation of our culture, our traditions, and our way of life. The support we've received locally by our lawmakers in D.C. and across Turtle Island has been tremendous. The threat of disestablishment was real, but the action taken today will help to ensure our ancestral homeland is forever protected. In other national Native news, First Lady Melania Trump met with Indian Health Services at the White House on Thursday. The meeting was to brief Trump from the task force protecting Native American children in the Indian health system. The task force was reportedly organized to provide recommendations to deter, mitigate, and respond to any allegations of future child sexual abuse in the IHS system. The 30-minute briefing was aired on social media. Trump attended the meeting to talk about her Be Best campaign and its focus on children's well-being. She said during the meeting, Native American children, like all children, deserve to grow up in a safe, supported, nurturing environment. Strong Native American communities are strong American communities. The executive director of the Navajo Nation Washington, D.C. office, Santi Lewis, also spoke about the many hardships that Native children face. She said the task force has done a heroic job of shining a light in the darkest places of multiple systems that for a variety of reasons failed our children. We can do better. We need to do better. The best way to do that is to take up this task force's recommendations to improve the culture at Indian Health Services by establishing more clear reporting requirements, training employees about the reporting process, and improving background checks. Melania Trump has also accepted an invitation to the Cherokee Nation, extended by Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. He has invited Trump to see the tribe's new medical facilities. In his statement, Chief Hoskin said, "We invite First Lady Melania Trump to tour our state-of-the-art outpatient health center and first medical school on tribal land in the nation, which is wrapping up construction in Tahlequah." Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. said in the statement, "Anytime we can showcase that tribal nations are thriving and strong, doing good work on behalf of children in our communities, we welcome the opportunity with open arms." In more national news, by now, most of the country has heard of the federal agents deployed by the Trump administration to Portland, Oregon. The agents arrived in unmarked military-style uniforms and began whisking away protesters without probable cause, hauling them off in unmarked vans to a federal courthouse for questioning. The Trump administration is testing the limits of federal power and on all accounts appears to have issued the agents as a form of martial law for the Democratic city. On Thursday, federal judge Michael Simon made the ruling to block U.S. agents from arresting and using physical force against journalists and legal observers in Portland. This ruling came just one day after Portland's mayor, Ted Wheeler, was tear-gassed by federal agents alongside protesters outside a federal courthouse. Protests have been ongoing in Portland for nearly 2 months since George Floyd was murdered by police in Minneapolis. Simon's order is in effect for 14 days, and journalists and observers will have to wear clear identification. A freelance photographer for the Associated Press has also submitted an affidavit that he was beaten with batons, tear-gassed, and hit with rubber bullets earlier this week. Judge Simon previously ruled that journalists and legal observers should be exempt from police orders requiring protesters to disperse once an unlawful assembly has been declared, but a federal lawyer intervened, saying that journalists should have to leave when ordered. The judge said objections by law enforcement were outweighed by First Amendment concerns. None of the government's interests outweigh the public's interest in accurate and timely information about how law enforcement is treating protesters, the judge wrote. The ACLU lawsuit is one of several filed in response to law enforcement actions during the protests in Portland and elsewhere. Mayor Wheeler of Portland has denounced the presence of the federal police sent by Trump, even among harsh criticism from his constituents in the Portland business sector and city council about not getting the protests under control before the federal government intervened. According to an article by PBS, Portland's mayor was initially jeered by protesters, but did receive applause when he raised his fist in the air and shouted "Black Lives Matter." While Wheeler did not participate in the destruction of property that was occurring at the protest, he was tear-gassed by the federal agents as they pushed to move the protesters back from the federal courthouse after fires were set and a fence intended to keep the protesters back and limit damage to the building was torn down. It was not clear if the federal agents knew that Mayor Wheeler was in the crowd at that time. The Department of Homeland Security's Acting Secretary Chad Wolf denied the federal agents were inflaming the situation and told CBS that Wheeler legitimized criminality by going in front of the crowd of demonstrators where the fires were lit and where people were trying to pull down the security fence. State attorneys for Oregon had also urged Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum to issue a restraining order against the federal agents. Rosenblum's lawsuit details accounts and accusations of the agents taking protesters away in unmarked cars and using excessive force. Federal authorities continue to dispute these allegations. The hearing in Judge Michael Mossman's court focuses on the actions of more than 100 federal agents responding to protests outside the Portland courthouse. The state's motion commands agents from the Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Protections, Federal Protective Services, and the U.S. Marshals Service immediately to stop detaining protesters without probable cause, to identify themselves and their agency before arresting anyone, and to explain why the arrest is taking place. In news of our relatives in the state of Mississippi, the chief of the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians will help to design the new state flag as part of a 9-member committee. The committee was formed after the Mississippi legislature voted in June to retire the state flag that featured the rebel emblem of the Confederate Army, which is widely considered racist. Republican Governor Tate Reeves announced the appointment of the Choctaw Nation Chief Cyrus Benn to the committee that must design a new flag that cannot depict the rebel emblem and must have the phrase, "In God We Trust." The timeline for the new flag is to have it on the November 3rd ballot in Mississippi. They are collecting proposals from the general public until early August and will set a design by early September. The commission currently has 6 members that are white, 2 who are black, and 1 that is Native American. In national sports news, a petition is currently circulating on social media asking several countries to withdraw from the World Lacrosse Games as after the Iroquois Nationals were excluded. The petition was started by Aidan Fearn, a lacrosse player from Nova Scotia, and asked that Australia, Canada, Germany, Great Britain, Ireland, Japan, the United States, the Czech Republic, and New Zealand refuse to participate in the World Games set to be held in Birmingham, Alabama in 2022. The petition goes on to explain that the qualifications for the World Games were primarily based on final placement in the 2017 Women's and 2018 Men's Championships. The Iroquois Nationals team, their men's team, finished 3rd and are full members of the World Lacrosse Organization, but they have not received an invite despite placing 3rd, and teams that placed lower were selected instead. Fear notes that he does not speak for the Iroquois Nationals and offers respect for the Haudenosaunee origins of lacrosse, known as the Creator's Game. His intention is to send a message to the World Lacrosse Games that the community of lacrosse is behind this idea and to help them understand that this is not inclusion and this is not fair. He hopes this idea works and will gain more traction. Top lacrosse players, including some from the Iroquois Nationals team, have expressed their support for the petition on social media. World Lacrosse also issued a statement on social media on July 22nd. As always, miigwech and thank you for having me. This has been Ogama Ganu Ikwe, and back to you, Wakanjahade.
Pinigigi for the news, Emma.
Wonderful news. Thanks again, Emma.
Much needed to see what's going on in Turtle Island. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Each week we have a great update from House Representative Mary Kunish Podine. Let's take a listen.
How matake yape, it's State Representative Mary Kunish Podine. Today is Friday, July 24th, and what a hot one. Hot and steamy out there, but I don't know about you. I like the hot weather, so that didn't bother me too much. I hope you all stayed cool, though. So what went on this week? We're not in a special session, so a lot of the things that went on in the legislature are post session activities. Any of the bills that passed through the House then pass through the Senate with approval from both of them, get sent to the governor's desk, and he gets to sign them. He can decide not to sign a bill. If he wants to veto a bill, he sure can. Most often, there is an agreement ahead of time within the House and within the Senate and with the governor, like a three-way agreement. Most of the time, that's what happens. It takes a lot of work to get that agreement, a lot of negotiating, which we've been doing too much of these past few weeks. But eventually, we were able to pass some good legislation this past special session that ended, well, it would have been, Wednesday morning at 2 a.m. So we were at it that late, and that's just the way the ball bounces. So what did we get done during this special session? We did get the Police Accountability Act passed from the House to the Senate and then to the governor. And that Minnesota Police Accountability Act was authored by all of the members of the People of Color and Indigenous Caucus, the Posse Caucus, POCI. And our intent is to begin, because this is not the do-all, end-all legislation, but we want to begin to address the systemic inequities in Minnesota's criminal justice system. And the compilation of bills, there's a number of them in this act, but the bills are the result of weeks of work and advocacy from groups across the state, and the Posse Caucus and the people of the members of the Senate and the House. And so the bipartisan bill follows decades of advocacy by communities of color, and as the governor said, it's a good first step. And we all know that there are long overdue changes, and passing this accountability bill is not the end of it. So the Posse Caucus really did take some incredible leadership on this issue. And once again, want to thank Chair Moran from St. Paul and Chair Mariani from St. Paul as well, who really took the helm and moved us through this process. So we worked hard, and we got some things done, such as a ban on warrior training and chokeholds. There's some arbitration reform. It doesn't go as far as we'd like, but again, it's a start. There are stronger requirements for police officers to recognize that is their duty to intercede when there is an incident happening where the authority and the violence and the procedures are above and beyond what would be acceptable, especially by police. There's an increase in mental health and autism training. Those are two areas that are real sticklers, because police may be called to a home or to an incident where somebody with mental health might be spiraling out of control, and they may be threatening their family, their neighborhood, their community, or others. They might be threatening police as well. And, we would like to see nonviolent means put in place before any kind of weaponry or any kind of real strong aggression comes out from the police. It's a very fine line, and we know how important it is that our police and our peace officers are trained to work with folks with mental health, and then of course autism, because that's a whole different sort of disability that those folks don't always pick up on the cues. They often become very frustrated or afraid, or it just isn't working when a police officer shows up and shows aggression. So we're asking for more mental health and autistic training. There are some reforms to the police officer standards and the training board otherwise known as the Post Board. And then there will be a creation of a new advisory council that will include citizen voices. And that was one of the things we wanted especially, is to include more and more of citizen voices, citizen contribution to legislation and the activity that goes on within our communities. And then, of course, the last thing that was on there is the use of force reform. And so Senate File 4, which contains all those provisions, address the backlog of Minnesotans who are waiting to also take a knowledge test or a road test to obtain a driver's license. We hear about it all the time, how these kids aren't able to get their driver's license because they can't get to take their test. And so we're looking at ways to move that along and make sure that everybody gets their driver's license as soon as they are ready to do that. Included in that Police Reform Act is an extension for the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Bill. It was a bill that I carried and added as an amendment at the end there. And that will allow the task for 6 more months after their December report to kind of tie up loose ends and just sort of finish up, as we are really working hard to make sure we have a really good comprehensive report coming up in December. What else went on this week? Oh, the governor signed an executive order requiring masks be worn inside. And we know that there are a lot of people that are unhappy about that. But I have to say, for every unhappy person who wrote to me about wearing a mask, there had to be at least 5 that said, please, 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 please. And so, as the governor said, right now there's not a better way to demonstrate our Minnesota values and our you know, how we care for each other, how we value each other, than by simply wearing a mask. And we're hoping that by wearing that mask, we'll be able to combat the spread of COVID-9, protect our neighbors. We want to keep our businesses open. We don't want any more closing of restaurants and hair salons and all those different businesses that have been able to open up because of the ability to wear a mask and do that. So let's make sure that we are masking up when we head out. Don't forget, we still need to practice social distancing and other preventative measures. So no handshaking or hugs. And just make sure that we're doing the best that we can to ensure that we're, you know, getting wound down on this, because we want our kids to go to school, which is another huge issue this week. The governor will be coming out with his recommendation, and maybe I'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But one of the last things that he did that a lot of folks have shown a lot of concern about, and I can certainly understand it, is the governor put together a 5-point battle plan that will address some of our state's long-term care facilities. We know that in some of those facilities, there have been, you know, just rampant COVID outbreaks and deaths. And I can tell you that my father-in-law was one of those. He lived in an assisted living place, and he and a roommate or cohabitator there were one of the first to contract it and pass away. And that was really hard, because you can't have your usual funeral where the family all comes, or that they're able to be there when they say goodbye, those last minutes. But I know that the nurses and those that cared for my father-in-law those last minutes and those last days were very attentive to him and helped him stay connected with the family via telephone. So what the governor has put together, a 5-point plan that will develop testing criteria and process facilities who request that testing services. And so they want to expand the testing for residents and worker in the long short-term facilities. They're going to implement a nurse triage line to provide test results and information on COVID-19, and then streamline that billing process for using the state's testing partners and provide testing support and troubleshoot to clear any of those barriers faster. The third thing is that they're developing a system for prioritizing and dispersing personal protective equipment, otherwise known as PPE, to facilities. We want to make sure that they are, you know, have that priority for those facilities. And that would include any emergency supplies and response system. Also, scheduling software systems to connect facilities with staffing needs to available staff. And so that when there is an uptick, they're able to fill the needs across the state with workers and professionals who care for our elderly. And then the last thing that they want to do is leverage any partnership across the state, and that's including qualified healthcare professionals and federal agencies, state agencies in long-term care, and so that we're making sure that if there is a patient surge, we are ready and have the capacity and are able to provide the services necessary to our loved ones. So that's a jingle from the legislature. It's going to be a warm, muggy weekend again, so make sure you drink a lot of water, that you're staying hydrated, you're staying cool. Take care of yourself, take care of your loved ones, and we will be back next week. Wopla Tonka.
Pini Gigi for your words of wisdom and information. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was House Representative Mary Kunish Podine, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. I was given that name by my Dega, which means uncle, and it means distant thunder, and I'm blessed to have such a great name. We have each week with us a House Representative from North Dakota, Ruth Buffalo, and we are really always excited to hear what's going on in North Dakota and with her life and with her family and just all around what's happening. One of the things I want to say before I get Ruth on is that she does a symposium. Well, I guess it's more of a Zoom, Facebook, and on Native Roots Radio Network, and what she does is it's called Truth with Ruth, and it was a really good show, and if you have time, catch that on Facebook, Native Roots Radio Network Facebook page. It's a worth listening to. Welcome, Ruth.
Yes, Mazagidaz, thank you. It's always good to be in this virtual space with everybody, so good to be here.
Yes, thank you so much, Pini Gigi. So that's just, if you don't mind, let's just talk a little bit about your show just for a couple seconds, and then we'll get into some political stuff. But you had a great show. You had sure. Trisha Zunker from Who's Ho-Chunk from Wisconsin. It was just a great show. How did it feel?
It was really good. It was so nice to have representation from every level of government. We had, you know, the congressional federal level, then we had the city level, and then the state legislature level. All women, all Native women. Fargo here, we had District 16 House Representative candidate Tracy L. Wilkie, who is a citizen of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa. And then we had the lady from Bemidji City
Audrey.
Council candidate.
Audrey.
Yes,
was awesome.
Yes, she was very awesome. And then Trisha Zunker for Congress. So it was amazing. And yet, like you mentioned, Ho-Chunk Nation. And then Audrey is a citizen of the White Earth. So Band of Chippewa. So it was awesome to have such powerful women and inspiring. And I hope that people will, you know, be inspired to take that next step or that leap into running for office or encouraging someone to run for office and perhaps like supporting a campaign. And I hope that people will donate, whether it's $1, $5, that still goes a long way. And even if it's just words of encouragement, that will still go a huge, make a huge difference and go a long way. So yeah, it was a really good show, and I'm super thankful for the opportunity to help amplify these women's voices. Having run for office twice myself, I know it can be challenging, and I can't imagine how or what it's like to run during a pandemic.
Because
you have to totally readjust everything. And, you know, door knocking was super huge in my 2018 race for the legislative seat that I hold here in District 27. And so trying to help local candidates here find ways to reach their voters and get their message out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, one of the things, too, I want to kind of segue into is in Minnesota in the next, I think in a day or so, we're going to be mandatory masks. What's happening in North Dakota?
No mandates as of yet. I know our Fargo City Commission is going to talk about a possible mask mandate. I have been receiving a lot of emails from constituents regarding personal freedoms and to not allow a mask mandate. And so stores, though, have been issuing mask mandates throughout Fargo, South Fargo area, West Fargo. But yeah, it's a little disheartening, though. I wish there were something to really stress the importance that if you wear a mask, you're not only protecting yourself, but you're protecting your fellow neighbor. And so that's kind of where things are at here in North Dakota.
Wow. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting here in Minnesota too, because there is a mandate, but you're also how much there's going to be fines and things like that. But I mean, how much can Menards, for instance, and another business I can't think off the top of my head right now. Chipotle and McDonald's have all gone, you have to have masks. And I think that's national. So who's going to, who is a young person going to say, please don't take your mask, and then Karen's going to come start yelling at them? I don't, you know, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen or how much teeth it's going to involve. But we still have people that are anti-maskers and anti-vaccines and all these things. That's going to really slow down this the recovery from this pandemic, I think.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge public health concern and issue, and that everybody has to do their part to protect each other. And so we can definitely slow the spread by taking personal responsibility and wearing a mask. You know, if we have to go out and about, definitely being considerate of others, especially who have family members that are considered high risk. And that includes a lot of our communities of color, so and Indigenous communities. So
yeah, definitely. One of the things, are we still doing the census, right?
Yes, yep, we are. And there's been some interesting developments within this past week. But, yep, still pushing and encouraging people to participate in the census. It's so important that we do our part and get counted. We need to participate in that and be counted. it's one of our responsibilities. So.
Right, exactly. And it's for federal funding. It's for, districts. We listen, a lot of people listen to the show over the Turtle Island here, and we just want to remind you and beg you to be counted. And I know there's a lot of trauma with that and with the government, but we're asking our elders and our new 18-year-olds and people like that to be counted, or everyone to be counted. I guess I got that little confused with the voter registration, which I'd like to talk to you a little bit about right now.
Yeah, North Dakota, we do not have voter registration yet. It's definitely on the radar, and we've been in discussions on the pros and cons of not having voter registration, and if we were to start having voter registration, what would that look like, and would it you know, help in other areas. So it's an interesting topic that, and I know that we'll be discussing that more in the future too, as we head into the 2020 election.
Exactly. So another thing too. So how's your family doing? Or we're getting out. I know it's super hot here in the Twin Cities, in Minnesota. But what's happening? Are you guys? I know in the beginning of the COVID, we were all doing aerobics online and things like that. So what are you guys doing now?
Right now, you know, trying to stay cool, but doing a lot of organizing and just trying to stay organized. And you know, our tobacco is growing really good, and my friend Yosh down in Lawrence, Kansas, you know, hasn't given up on me. She still continues to send the weekly Zoom workout links, and I probably haven't participated in probably I would say about 3 weeks in those, but I mean, still getting exercise in other ways through housework, yard work, stuff like that. But,
bicycle. I've seen you guys riding your bikes.
We definitely get exercise, but I need to get back into those Zoom workouts with Yosh.
Exactly. And we can't wait for the Native Comedy to go on again. That's been a few weeks too.
It has. And if you follow them through Instagram, I see a couple times I missed some of the shows that some of the individual comedians have done out in their respective communities. But yeah, I haven't seen, they haven't done like a Native comedy show in a while. So I know they're all kind of off doing their own thing and their own participating in different comedy shows. But those are really great to participate in and just to sit there and laugh. But we've been finding ourselves laughing a lot just from everyday occurrences in our household and people, you know, doing crazy things. And
And you had a birthday just this past week too, or birthdays, I should say.
Yep, we did just yesterday. So it was. It was a fun time, and it was good to see, you know, even the teenagers taking part in some of the festivities. So, yeah, it was fun. It was a good day.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us and letting us catch up with you. And we know that we here want to support all our Native politicians, and you are like number one on our list, and I really appreciate you spending time with us again. This has been Ruth Buffalo, House Representative of North Dakota. Thank you so much, Ruth.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, safe, confidential, and anonymous domestic violence helpline at 1-844-762-8483. Or connect with a live advocate one-on-one by using the Chat Now button at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Each week, we touch base with Nancy Bolio up in Bemidji area, and she works with and runs Bemidji 350, which is an arm of MN 350. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on up there, and then we kind of have an important update too that we're both working on. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Robert. Again, I'm Nancy Bolio, the Northern Organizer for Minnesota 350, and I lead the Bemidji 350 team, and I'm also one of the co-founders for Rise Coalition. And I'm very excited, Robert, on the project campaign that we're working on right now, and it's Rock the Vote Native Style, and it's a campaign here in northern Minnesota, well, actually throughout Minnesota, but one of our main focuses is in here in northern Minnesota because of the six Minnesota tribes under the Minnesota Chippewa tribe, and then we have the Red Lake Nation. And we also have an addition to the Minnesota Chippewa tribe, Sandy Lake Reservation. So, we want to make sure that our natives across the state of Minnesota, especially those in rural Minnesota, because we have so many barriers in our way when it comes to getting registered to vote, having the gas money just to get to the voting polls. And you know, we have COVID 19, that's also a barrier right now, and we got to protect our knowledge. So we want to make sure that our voters are engaged in a safe voter registration and showing up to the polls in a safe way. So one, you can register to vote online, and you can also do a mail-in ballot, which I have one sitting in front of me today. So I appreciate the efforts that were made by many nonprofits throughout Minnesota that really took the time to focus on voter participation and safety, especially when it comes to our BIPOC communities and our communities in Indian country. So we have to keep in mind that August 11th is our primary election. So our Rock the Vote Native style is not so focused on that particular election date because of the time frame needed to put our campaign together. So, but again, today I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, our primary elections, because here in northern Minnesota, we have some important races. We have Senate District Number 5, and our current mayor here in Bemidji, Rita Albrecht, she is actually running for Senate District 5, and we really need to get out and vote for Rita, because Justin Albrecht is the candidate or the Senate District 5 right now, and he's the one that made the comment about the tents, the homeless encampments where the tents are. If they can have homeless encampments, we can go camping. There's two different reasons why we need these encampments. These are about daily living, and then Justin thinks it's about recreation, and we have to put our priorities first. And I believe Rita will do a better job than Justin Eichhorn, and she is surrounded by Native communities. She has some work to do, but she's willing to learn. So I encourage people to get out and vote for Rita Albrecht for Senate District 5. And then we also have our Beltrami County Commissioner's race, and we have three candidates that we need to support for the Beltrami County Commissioner's. And we want to support Kristen Taylor Johnson. And he recognizes himself as a two-spirit person. And so he understands the diversity of our communities right now. And then we have Reed Olson. He's actually District 2. And so he's running for re-election. And he has done so much for the community and for the homeless people. And here in our county, homeless people, that's mostly Native Americans. So he really puts our people, you know, under his wing and does his best to make sure that we're taken care of. So I would recommend people voting for Reed Olson. Tim Sumner, Red Lake and Rowley, District 4. He's our incumbent as well right now, and he needs to be reelected because just most recently he has really stood for our voice in the Beltrami County Commissioners meeting, and we really appreciate his being courageous and willing to stick his neck out for the voice of those that are never heard, and that would be the Native communities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important race. And right now, currently, there's a 3-2 vote against us. And if we could vote these three guys, then we have the majority vote, and that is for a just community. And if we make sure we show up and vote, we can guarantee ourselves a seat at the table if we show up in record numbers. And you know we can, Robert.
That's right.
And then we have the Bemidji City Council as well. And for the Bemidji City Council, we have the awesome Audrey Thayer running for Ward 1.
Love her.
Right. She's been around so long. I mean, she deserves this seat, and I hope she wins by a landslide. Then we have Joey Opegaard Peltier, kind of a young guy, new guy, but he's been in the community doing what he needs to do for the longest time. So I think he's going to make a great candidate. And then we also have Jamie Thibodeau. Never know how to pronounce her last name, but she's actually a non-native, but she is with our people, and she's always a good voice for us. And so she is running for Ward 2, and that's she's only going up for the primary. There is no general election for her. So again, all of our Native people, especially here in Beltrami County, we need you to show up. We need to, you know, win these elections on a local basis, because that really matters to our outcomes here in our communities. And if we can support the BIPOC community, the Native candidates, and put all that together, we will be at the table, Robert. And I look forward to engaging our people in how to register and how to show up to vote. And then most importantly, how to show up with your voice after the vote, because it's more than our vote. It's our voice as well. And if we don't hold these candidates' feet to the fire, then our vote is almost nothing. So most importantly, though, the vote still does matter. I'm not trying to take nothing away from that, but that conversation after the vote is when the work gets done. So we're going to find ways to engage our Native communities in healthy relationship building processes and how to show up to a meeting and what to expect from a meeting and building people power. Because right now, in the era of Trump, we got to take back what's ours, because we're still here and our vote and our voice does matter. So I encourage our people to get out and vote August 11th.
Wow, perfect. And then we're going to be on again, you and I, doing the kickoff of the new radio show called Native Style. We are, you know, Rock the Vote Native Style. And so I'm excited to do that this coming Tuesday with you. And then one of the things I didn't tell you is we have a possibility for one quick interview with Ilhan Omar, and we want to kind of talk about how she's supporting Native Americans. And so that'll be an interesting little segment there, because I know she missed the vote of some important votes that have to do with Natives, and I want to see what she has to say about that. So that'll be interesting.
Right, and that's going to be a conversation worth having. And I think, you know, the more we know about our candidates, the more informed voting decisions we can make. And that's really important right now, because, you know, these candidates represent our values, and if we don't show up to support them, they can't support us. So that's why I say it's very important this year that we encourage not just ourselves, but our family and our neighbors to get out and vote, especially the Native communities, you know. So it's in our intent to rock the vote, Robert, Native style, and get all Minnesota Natives to get out and register to vote, because we know in some states the population of our Native people can actually make or break a campaign. And I think if we use our people power, we can win so many campaigns that we need right now.
That's right. They're so close, and the Native vote is very important. We got to get out and register and vote, and we're going to really help you do that. So thank you so much, Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 and Rise, and the new co-host of a radio show here. So it's great to have you on each week, and I can't wait to work with you on this great project. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Hour 2. We'll be right back.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut it, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, Hour 2. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance, we are awake. All things are relatives. What we do to everything, we do to ourselves. All is one black elk. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, and she's beautiful and awesome too. You can interchange that a little bit. Wendy has been a animal advocate for many years, and she is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States. Welcome, Wendy. Tell us your name and what you got on your mind today.
Hi, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by Dega Curtis. So thank you as always. Excuse me one second. I just have to clear my throat. Okay, I'm back. So Robert, it's been so hot and I just can't even take it, but you know what? I don't want to complain, because when it's January and minus 10 degrees, I'm going to be really, wishing it was this hot and humid. Yesterday I was just like sitting on the couch. We have a window that looks out front, and we're on a bike and walking path at our house here. So most days I see people and dogs and people walking by on their bikes and riding their bikes. But yesterday,
since lawn.
Sometimes they do, right? They stop and whatever. I'm thinking about putting a bowl of water outside, but I just couldn't believe I was seeing so many people walk by with really big dogs, big hairy dogs. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe that they're walking their dogs in this heat. And the dogs are panting and walking really slow. And I don't know. Anyway, you know, our dog, Wanda, you know, our house is air conditioned. We're very lucky and it's nice and cool. And she goes out. I open the back door to go out. And she's so funny. She just sticks her head out and look and like feels the heat. And then she backs up. Back into the house. So I know that she doesn't even want to go out, and it's so cute to see her do that. But if it's 88 outside today, it's going to be 88 degrees, and the heat index because of the humidity is going to be 102 to 105. So it's really, really dangerous. And what I want to talk about is how heat and the weather affect our animals. So a sidewalk, let's take a sidewalk for example. If it's 92 degrees outside, the sidewalk temperature could be 114, and asphalt or blacktop can be 130. Yeah, that's how hot it can be. And dogs have been, dogs can get blisters and have their paw pads burnt just because of that. So what you could do is just take the back of your hand and put it on the surface where you want your dog to walk. And just in a few seconds, you'll be able to tell whether it's hot or not. You know, if it's too hot for you, the back of your hand, then it's going to be too hot for your dog's paw pads. So just check that out. Just put your back of your hand, not the front. The front of your hand's a lot tougher. Doesn't have enough nerve endings there. And again, too, you know, people say, well, you know, I feel fine. It's not that hot. It's not that bad. So normally a human being, their normal body temperature is generally around 98.6, but it can run between 97 and 99. But most people 98.6, but a normal temperature for a dog and cat can run, this is their normal temperature, is 101 to 102.5. So they're already warmer than we are. Their body temperature is already warm. And then according to the Humane Society of the United States, there are a few things that you can do to keep your pet safe in the heat. So the first thing is, number one, is never, not even for a minute, leave your pet in a car, even with the windows open a little bit. And they also recommend that not even with the car running and the air conditioning on. There's been lots of reports of police who have left their canine partner in the car with it running and the air conditioning on, and then something happens and the car stalls out or something happens. And a lot of police dogs have died that way. So I think that's why, you know, you just never know. Now, if you see a distressed dog or a cat in a car and they're panting and they, you know, the dog looks like they're having a hard time, call the police. There are only 8 states in the United States that allow have a Good Samaritan law where you can break the window and get the dog out. So only 8 states allow that. And it's California, Colorado, Indiana, Massachusetts, Wisconsin, Florida, Ohio, and Tennessee.
Not Minnesota.
No. So if you see a dog and you break their window, you can go to jail. You can get fined. So just call the police right away. The police are very good about coming out for dog calls like that. So just for example, if the temperature outside is 85 degrees, Inside the car, with the windows slightly open, it can reach 102 within 10 minutes. And within 30 minutes, the temperature inside the car can reach 120 degrees. And your pet can suffer irreversible organ damage or die when the temperature gets that hot. So we really need to watch out. I'm always, if we're in a parking lot and I see cars, I'm always looking out for a dog in a car. The telltale sign is when you see the windows crack just a little bit, then you're like, oh, there must be a dog in there, right? And you go over there. And I have these little pamphlets from HSUS, and it kind of nicely tells people to not do that and what happens inside the car. But yeah, and watch the humidity. You know, the humidity can be very, very dangerous. Animals pant to evaporate moisture from their lungs, which takes the heat away from their body, right? And if it's the humidity is too high, they are unable to cool themselves and their temperature will skyrocket to dangerous levels very quickly. If you feel like your dog is like, you know, really in distress, you could take their temperature. And if their temperature is over 104, that could be very dangerous. It could be a heat stroke or death, and just bring them right to the vet. Also, limit exercise on hot days. Keep your dog in the house. They don't need to go out. And it's funny, I just read this too, and I didn't know this. Pets with white colored ears are more susceptible to skin cancer. And I talked about this the other day, last week or the week before, that short-snouted dogs have a harder time cooling their air because a longer nose, when the dog breathes in the air has a chance to cool before it gets into the lungs. But like our little Wanda, who's a Shih Tzu, she has her smashed in face. So she's just breathing that hot air. It's going directly into the lungs, and she doesn't have enough time to get that air cool. And really, it says here, really don't rely on a fan. Pets respond differently to heat than humans. Dogs, for instance, sweat primarily from their, could you guess where they, I didn't know this.
Their mouth?
I thought so too. No, they sweat primarily from their feet.
What?
Yeah, uh-huh. I didn't know that. And fans don't cool pets as effectively as they do for people. But I think that they do help, because I know that I think our dogs like to feel the little breeze. But anyway, always, always, always provide ample water in heat waves. Add some ice cubes to the water. Some people think like a dog house will keep your dog cool, but it's not. It's just like a hot box. It gets really, really hot. And then cool your pet from the inside out. Whip up a batch of quick DIY popsicles, right? So you could make like little ice cubes with some stuff in it that they might like to lick and keep cool. So let's just go really quickly. How much time do I have left?
1 minute.
Oh, no. Some signs of heat stroke. So heavy panting, difficulty breathing, excessive thirst, lethargy, profuse salivation, vomiting, and deep red or purple tongue and seizures, unconsciousness as well. Older pets, just like people, are at higher risk of heat stroke. So move your pet to the shade or air conditioning. Apply ice packs or cold towels to their head, neck, chest, or run cool, not cold water, over them, and let them drink small amounts of water. Of cool water, not cold water. Take them to the vet immediately. And also, I just want to say this really quickly. Wildlife, leave water out for wildlife. Butterflies, bees can fall into the bird bath. So put some rocks in your bird bath, and they like stand on the rocks and drink the water. And
like
I didn't
a little
even
island.
Know.
Like a little
I didn't
island.
Exactly. I didn't even know that butterflies and bees and flies too, they need water. Hummingbirds rely on nectar that naturally dries up during heat waves. So put that nectar out, and never buy the red dyed nectar. Always buy clear, and you can make your own. But that's how we can help our dogs and cats.
Our sacred animals.
As sacred animals. And don't break a window in Minnesota because you'll go to jail. We need a good Samaritan law here. Maybe I'll work on that with HSUS and see if we could get something like that passed here.
Send a note to House Representative Mary Kunish Podine, who was on earlier in our show.
Absolutely. That's what I can do.
Awesome. Everyone can do that. Send her a shout out. Everyone listening. Hey, absolutely. Peeny Gigi Wendy, for always these great updates for our sacred animal and our relatives with our four legs and tails
and wings.
Yeah. Oh, you got me on that one. Hey, thank you again, Peeny Gigi.
Keep cool.
Right on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break with Bob Blake from Red Lake. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahare. You know, we haven't heard from Bob Blake from Red Lake in months, and I know he was my sidekick for a while there and my key grip in Iowa. It's really good to catch up or try and catch up with you, Bob. How have you been doing? And welcome.
Thank you, Robert. I've been doing great. Did that say key grip on the... on the path, or did that say best boy? I don't think
it was key grip.
we had so much fun down there at the Franklin Muir presidential forum. That was awesome. And meeting all those great people, seeing all those great Native politicians. It was so inspirational to see that, and especially see Natives so involved in this democracy. So I thought it was great.
And all the other media, Native media, that was really cool to run and meet them. And it was funny, Bob, we were out having pizza with them afterwards. And three of the people, I said, hey, wow, we should become Facebook friends, you know, and just collaborate. And then I found out I already am Facebook friends with half of them. Do you remember that?
I know. That was great. And everybody was just gravitating towards your setup. Like, everybody was just like, who is this? What is this? Well, oh, Robert Violet.
It couldn't have been the t-shirts you gave away, was it, Bob?
They were swarming me for those t-shirts. They were going like hotcakes.
You gave one to one of the persons we it says resist on the front, and one of the persons we resist you gave a shirt to, and we got a picture of, and she was on the radio show too. I don't know if we should say who it is, but it starts, her first initial starts with Amy. Oh, hey.
Yeah, you know what was funny is she was walking by, and you know, and her people were with her. And the guy comes up to me and says, where are you guys from? And I said, Minnesota. and I didn't think, because the guy was like walking in front of her. And he was like, you're from Minnesota? He goes, we need to get Amy over here. And I was like,
let me give her a shirt.
Yeah, I didn't really know how that was playing out. I just said, from Minnesota.
Well, little did we know, she got booed in the big room, and then we had her on, and I just threw her softballs because, you know, we're all about, you know, creating relationships and building bridges, but wow.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that's the other thing, too. Like, I mean, I think it's really important that, you know, we hear from people. We let them have what they have to say. And, I mean, if you look at, you know, this country right now, and, you know, you see that people are so, you know, in their camps, and they won't allow people to even talk. So how are we supposed to solve our problems? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have to get the dialogue going again. So I think that's great, Robert, that you're one of the people out here that are, you know, trying to get that dialogue going and get people talking, because it is so important. And that's how we learn about each other, and that's how we solve problems. And we're faced with a lot of problems right now.
Right. And right, building bridges amongst nations and people too, not just the Washitsus, but, you know, everybody. And what I like is what you're doing and what you've been doing and how positive a person you are, period. So it's really fun and easy to be that way when you surround yourself by positive people and everyone that's kind of looking at, you know, building bridges. Because, you know, we joked about Amy there for a minute, but, you know, someday she's going to come through for us, you know, on something else maybe. And so we want to keep those, and that's the way politics used to be, right? We want to keep those bridges open. People voting with their conscience instead of party lines, and get back to that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I know Jamie Edwards was with us too, and that was cool because he had
Jamie Edwards.
He had Vice following him around, and they did a really nice special on him on
HBO.
What
else would you expect?
Right. Well, you saw me. I was like following Jamie around just in case I could get on camera, you know, with my. And I got in there a couple times, but they didn't quote me.
Yeah. No, that was a wonderful time, and thank you for inviting me along. And I had a blast, and we got to meet some really good people, though. That's what I think was the best thing about it.
Well, you know, Ruth Buffalo, I've talked to in passing a few times, and we saw her down there, and I really, so she's on like three of my shows or two of my shows. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the personal meet, you know, that we're not able to do now, but just like, so she's been on the symposium we do every Tuesday night, the Native Symposium, and she's also a weekly contributor here on Native Roots Radio. And I think a lot of that had to do with going down there in Iowa in the presidential forum and just talking to people and being real.
Well, I mean, you know, she is incredible. I mean, we all know that, you know, all of our Native women are strong and, you know, wonderful and beautiful, but Ruth is absolutely incredible. And with the work that she's doing there in North Dakota, you know, which is, you know, let's just say it, you know, not very friendly to Democrats.
Right.
And so she's got an uphill battle there, and she's got the heart of a, you know, just the heart of a lion, a bear, you know, she's just an incredible with what she's doing up there in North Dakota, and trying to bring some change to that state for the better, you know. So I just admire her so much.
Right, exactly. And then we met some other people, like Deb Holland was there.
Can you believe that?
I know. I'm the selfie king, and I got a selfie with her.
Dude, I met Deb Holland, man. I was like, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not worthy. Right. You know, I felt like we were like Wayne's World, you know. I mean, we're not worthy.
How did I get this credential, right?
Yeah, like we were like being drug around all over the place and people were talking to us, and I was kind of thinking to myself, we're not worthy.
Yeah, and we had what was his name? The guy that's he does not mess around. He's a tribal chairman. Do you remember what's his name?
Oh, Chairman Frazier.
Yeah, we had him on, and he's like, wow. He's an idol of mine too, because
yeah, have you seen what he did over in Cheyenne River?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, incredible, man. That guy. Well, I mean, okay, let's just say it. Like when he walked in the room, he has kind of an air about himself, you know, mm-hmm. that like, you don't want to mess with this guy. You know what I mean? Like
he speaks it straight in his truth.
Yeah, he just carries himself a certain way. And, you know, I mean, Robert, I've done security work for like 30 years in the Twin Cities. I mean, I've thrown out professional athletes. I've thrown out, you know, I mean, you know, gangbangers, I mean, you name it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've done. And let me tell you something. I get a sense of who can handle themselves, okay? It's a kind of an intuition you pick up. Well, let me tell you something. I got that feeling from Chairman Frazier. Like, this guy, you don't want to disrespect. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Hey, say, yeah. Listen, Bob, do you have time for another segment? I want to talk about what you're doing and catch up on what you've been doing now that we've reminisced, and maybe talk a little news. Do you have a time for another segment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Hey, I'm with Bob Lake from Red Lake. I always love saying that. And this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, safe, confidential, and anonymous domestic violence helpline at 1-844-762-8483 or connect with a live advocate one-on-one by using the Chat Now button at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm really happy to have Bob Blake on. And I know Bob's family from way back when I was young, and it's really been inspiring to see what Bob's been doing. And Robert, you have a couple nonprofits and a business when it comes to helping and saving Mother Earth, and I want to touch base with you on updates with that. And I know it's Native Sun and Solar Bear. Can you tell us a little bit about each and give us an update of what you've been doing to protect Mother Earth with these great businesses?
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Yeah, no, I've been really busy. The pandemic hasn't really slowed me down a little bit, I've been keeping busy. Started a nonprofit called Native Sun Community Power Development, and Native Sun is basically a nonprofit that focuses in on bringing renewable energy specifically to tribal nations, along with doing some workforce development. Also, this is where the Solar Cup program is going to be based out of. So this is the K-12 curriculum that we want to set up. So super excited about that. And the other part about this is just getting in the flow of figuring out and really getting in deep with the way the Department of Energy works and how this is all flowing out, because I really do believe in energy sovereignty for tribal nations. And this is why I had to create this entity to do it. The second thing is Solar Bear. Yeah, Solar Bear is still going. We ran into some bumps, but it's a business. And we're starting another install in 2 weeks up in Red Lake. So we'll be doing a 200 kilowatt system up there, which I'm very excited about. And Solar Bear was asked to be in a movie, an upcoming movie called Guardians of the Earth, I think.
What?
Yeah. So these guys from Boston call me up and tell me that, hey, we want to put you in this movie for 15 minutes called Guardians of the Earth. And so I said, sure. So I don't know if they're coming next week or the week after, but we're still going to take some footage.
Well, let me know so I can get you a Native Roots Radio t-shirt to wear during that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. They want to interview me. They want to look at the solar projects up there. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. All this is moving along, just getting a crash course on just being a solar developer. I started out, just selling this stuff, and now I'm like learning how to develop huge projects. So that's been very exciting. Third thing, though, a couple of weeks ago, Robert, I was on the phone on a conference call with all 11 tribes in the state of Minnesota and the state of Minnesota, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about solar on tribal lands.
Yeah.
And renewable energy projects. And, so the state wants to get involved, and they want to start helping tribes. And if anybody out there right now works for their tribe or can get this message to their tribe, go online to the Department of Commerce and look at their grants. They have a grant out there that will fund the planning for and the development of solar projects on tribal lands. So I encourage every tribal nation to do this, because this is where we have to start. This is where we have to start planning, start putting this together. I'm very serious when I tell you that climate change is real. And the weather is going to get more erratic, and we need to be able to take care of our communities and protect our people. And so this is really important, and I would really like to just have all tribes apply for this, get it together. You can get a hold of me or you can get a hold of somebody else, but let's just start planning and put together a game plan for the community.
Well, Robert, we've seen in this pandemic where nations, especially that their revenue is casinos, have gone down to zero, where you have, if you have solar and you're selling solar back to the community, or not to the communities, but to the businesses, and then and doing solar for your community, that's got to just help and be almost free of these crises almost, don't you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And when you think about that, right, you think about gaming. We all know that that's a $1 billion industry, okay? But when you look at energy, that's a $1 trillion industry. Wow. We are in the wrong game. You know what I mean? We need to get into this, and we're only allowed to do this now because the technology is here. And so that's the great thing. And so we have the technology now. We're able to go ahead and move forward with this. And so that's really the exciting part about renewable energy and solar sweeping across Native country right now. And I'm just so happy and so proud of everyone that is getting involved. It's just really, really, really exciting.
Right. And I think one of the exciting things, too, I had on our symposium was all these people, too, thinking outside the box for hemp, too. So I think hemp and solar are going to accentuate and get our tribes going in the right direction and become really, really strong and powerful. It's just a part of it. It's just, you know, hemp's free. Basically, you plant it and it won't die, you know, and solar, the sun's out all the time, and even behind the clouds, it's working. And yeah, I'm really excited for the future because of people like you that have really, really vetted out the information for these tribes and for people to truly understand the benefits for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the point too, right? Because, I mean, when you start thinking about the erratic climate and, you know, tornadoes taking out power lines, you know, that's going to take out power lines to our communities. You know, it's going to get more and more hot. You know, there's just all these things that are, it's because it's going to be a health threat. And so if we can introduce these power, you know, these power, you know, energy companies into the tribe, you know, like in my case, you know, we're calling this Red Lake Power and Water. And that's the other part. Taking care of the water system, including the water system in that. So this is controlled for and by the community.
Yeah.
So the situation in Flint, Michigan, that isn't just a common thing. This is across the country. And you know, and so our communities really need to be in charge of their water and their energy. And I hope that to make a template so everybody can look at this and follow and just replicate it. And you know, and then the other part about this is the tribes here in the state of Minnesota making a tribal utilities commission. So the next time that the Public Utilities Commission has to make decisions on pipelines and other natures of that, they have to talk with the tribal utilities commission. So this is about that government to government relations that we need to pursue, and we're spreading this all out through the country. I'm just super excited about this and where it's going, and you know, look forward to the future. And this is all I'm going to do, Robert, for the rest of my life.
Right, except for run for Congress again and our city council too. So we don't forget about that. But you know, Bob, I've really missed you, and we have to do a social distance coffee and catch up. This is just not enough time. I really appreciate you being on the show again, and hopefully we can get you on more often. I know your schedule is just crazy, but really this has been Robert Blake, I love to say it, from Red Lake, and he's owned Solar Bear and excuse me, the cat's in my way, Native Sun. Again, thank you so much for being on. Just give me a last push here about solar energy, and we'll call it a segment. Let everybody know how great it is.
Yeah, I just really believe, you know, solar and using solar power, renewable energy as a form of self-determination for our tribal nation.
Pinigigi. You're listening to the Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. And again, you know, I really like to bring up the fact that my Dega, who's our Choka in our family, gave me this name, and it means distant thunder. And I just want to bring in my uncle, my Dega, Curtis. Welcome, Curtis, and tell us your name.
Aho, Pinigigi Chushke. My native name is Amashke Hanajinga. I walk on the white clouds. My colonized name is Curtis West. And I just always like to say this. I want to say hello to my baby girl, my beautiful wife, Kim. I love you. And I want to give a shout out here to all my family and relatives and friends of Four Directions. We pray all is well, you know. Mask up and stay safe, you know, with this pandemic, you know, and just stay safe out there. And, you know. But my Chushke here lets me do a few things. He cuts me loose for a few minutes. So I appreciate that, Chushke. So I'm going to do some birthdays. We got a few events, but not too many with this lockdown and a lot of shout outs. But I'm going to start off with these birthday wishes. First off, we're going to start off with Bree Little George. Happy birthday, Bree. And our relative up there in God's country. I call her my little nanny. Her name is Eleanor St. John. So we're going to say happy birthday. I got her in between on the birthday. She's slash elder, but I wanted to get her off right away. And then we got a friend and relative over in Minneapolis, her and her mom, Barbara, come to our area meeting. So we want to say a happy birthday to Jamie Gaw and a friend of mine from the West Side.
Oh.
And he listens to our show every week. And he said, Robert's his favorite radio celebrity. So so I'm going to say his name's Arnulfo, but they call him Pelon Flores, but he listens to the show every week. So I want to say happy birthday to you, Loner. And one that is a real deep relative family member that took care of a couple of our relatives that walked on. And we want to say happy birthday to Pastor Tom Volterra. Man, he's a pastor and a well-respected man in the Mexican and Ojibwe community. So happy birthday to Pastor Tom. And then like we always say, you know, we got to look after our elders. You know, there's a few people older than us and elite elders, period, you know. So during this time of pandemic, we'd like you to, you know, I know social distancing is in effect, but it would be really nice if you made a phone call and checked in on your elders and see if they need anything. You need any groceries or water or anything like that. Check in on them elders. And so we want to say happy birthday to Robert Cleveland. We want to say happy birthday to Rosemary Blackhawk, Marla's White Eagle, George Redhawk, Paul Thundercloud. We want to say happy birthday to you elders, man. Keep on staying blessed and safe. And then my Chushke here, let them give some shout-outs. And so I want to give this shout-out to our relatives, too. My Nunu, my sister Rosie and Larry Elbert. They're happy anniversary to them, you know. And this one, too, is my brother, my baby brother, Gary Nake. And Gary and Mitzi celebrated their 27th anniversary. They're together for 34 years, but they've been married for 27. And I wanna say thank you to Mitzi for putting up with him for so long, you know. And I wanna say hello to another listener of Robert's show, Jerry Wabus Wabbit. Ogunash and his queen. They listen to the show every week, and Jerry's thinking.
Got to give him a shout out.
Yeah, Jerry said that he's gonna make a contribution to Robert Pilot's show. So I'm gonna keep you up to that, Jerry. So anyway, we want to give another shout out to and this one's deep to my heart. I always got to give a shout out to the American Indian Movement, and I'm so proud to be a Wangsheek, and I thank the American Indian Movement, you know, for all they've done for us and still doing for us. And the other one we want to give a shout out to, they were gonna slow it down a little bit, but they came through again. But to the Ho-Chunk Nation again for that farms to family, that food, that vegetable, that milk and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're still keeping it going strong, and they had another one yesterday, and I guess they had a real good turnout, you know. So The other thing I wanted to mention today, too, is that if you didn't know, you're going to find out right now that it's official that it's a mandatory mask mandate. Everybody that goes into public, it's in effect today. So, you know, mask up and stay safe and drop this thing down a little bit. But it's mandatory now. It's not no excuses. And they said that they didn't give the price on the fine per person that gets caught out there. The police would rather hand them a mask than a fine and a ticket. But they said that it's mandatory. And the businesses, too, if they didn't know that, they said that there's going to be a $1,000 fine if you come into a business, a restaurant, or a liquor store, or a grocery store, and they don't have a sign out there saying mask, or they're going to charge them $1,000. And yeah. I don't know if that's per person or what it is, but yeah, so that's it. And but so it's mandatory today, and I'm going to have my Chiefs guy mention some events. I got one, but I got a couple that he's got more information than I. Go ahead,
Chushka. Hey, Uncle Curtis, I want to also give a shout out to my Chushka Kyle, who had twins, Miles and Maddox, and very sacred, and he's a enrolled member of Milwaukee Sioux. Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to them. So Miles is still in the hospital and should be getting out this week, but we say prayers and we smudged off, and I sent a couple little eagle feathers their way. So we're always thinking of them, Uncle Curtis. And then I also...
Good one, man.
And I just also want to mention we have a Patreon, and it's Native Roots Radio Network Patreon. Please look that up. I know every week we get a couple people, and we really appreciate that. It's building up to some power. And then also Tuesdays, Uncle Curtis, I don't know if you know this, but we're doing a new show called Rock the Vote Native Style. And that's right. 2 o'clock on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And it'll also be on Facebook Live. And it's just helping people navigate, become new people, registering to vote. And we're going to have politicians that are Native American all across Minnesota. And there's a lot of them up north. It's amazing how much the shift up in Bemidji and up that way. There's a lot of Natives running. So we're excited to have this new show on AM 950. Yeah, isn't it? And then, you know, that's Rock the Vote Native Style. And also we have a Patreon that I mentioned, and then we do the symposium live Tuesday night. And then we also have another show on the Native Roots Radio Network too, called Truth with Ruth. And that's with Ruth Buffalo, and that's on every other Thursday. So we're jam packed and we're on the radio all the time. Katushka or Uncle Curtis.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, right on. Say, before we get going, do you have a another event Gaga?
Yeah, I got both of them for you. And that other event that's coming up that a buddy of mine, Jerry Ogden, has gave me, it's coming up on Thursday. And I guess if I got it right, it's called the Four Sisters Farmers Market. Starts at 12:30 on Thursday, and it's going to be up at 15 Franklin Avenue over there in Native country over there in Minneapolis. So let them know about that.
Is that at the powwow grounds, or is that in the Maria's parking lot?
Yeah. It's right over there by the powwow ground. You'll see it. See, said they're set up right there by powwow grounds, right exactly over that way. Yeah.
And I always like to make that one.
I know that's right, man. But yeah.
And then how about a Gaga, Uncle Curtis?
I got a short one here today. It's a Native wisdom. This guy told me about this, and I really liked it for him, man. He says, you are worth every prayer whispered by your ancestors.
That's beautiful. Pini Gigi, Uncle Curtis, for all you do for us here on Native Roots Radio and in our community and our family.
Aho, man, aho.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenicus, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests which make this show. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.